can you tell us, Breezy, I want to hear from you too about this. What is the most disappointing experience you had meeting a poet or writer that you loved before?
I feel like you're trying to get us in trouble.
Did you continue to love their work after that experience is probably my next question too. Mm-hmm. Is it possible for somebody to color the work in a way with their own personality or their own doings in life?
Yeah. I mean, my experience was quite young because I worked at a bookstore in my local, in my small town of Sonoma, California. Huh. I worked at Reader's Books when I was 15. So I was the person that set up the chairs for poetry readings and all of that stuff. And most of the poets that I met were actually really quite lovely and would take a moment to talk to you and, you know, make some joke about whether or not you were allowed to serve wine. I was like, you know, it's a bookstore. I think I can pour you a glass of wine. But I think I did have a moment, and this, it continued for a little while, which was really with the amazing poet, Carolyn Kaiser, who I adored. Mm-hmm. And she was sort of a local celebrity, right? She's from Sonoma, and you know her work. Like, she has that incredible poem, Bitch, where she's holding back the dog that wants to, like, it's such a great poem. She's also, like, the only one who could get away with naming a collected, calm, cool, and collected. I mean, only Carolyn Kaiser could do that. But she definitely treated me like the help. And I remember just wanting to, like, sort of bask in her glory and do what I could to serve her and do you need anything, all of these things, and feeling very dismissed. And she, you know, I think later in life, she was enjoyed her moments out. I'll just say that. And I feel like it didn't change the work for me. But I think it actually did give me a really clear idea that the poet and the poem weren't always the same.
Yeah.
What about you, Breezy? You know?
Yeah. I mean, it, I feel like I haven't had any bad experiences with anyone I've met. But I love Louise Gluck's poetry. But when she won the Nobel and published essay, I was like, how? You're too smart to be doing this. Yeah, it was a moment where I realized, oh, you know, this poet maybe isn't writing for me.
That's interesting. You know? I mean, we could probably have a whole nother episode of our show that's just about well-meaning white people. What happens when there is a cultural moment and white people are brought into some kind of attention during that cultural moment, and so they want to speak to it. But because they've actually never done any of that particular kind of work anymore, that kind of work before, they end up speaking backwards instead of forwards. It's like, what is going on?
I think that's very true. Yeah.
I think part of that might be what happened in that moment with Louise, who I love and whose poems I love too.
But I don't know. I feel like quoting, what was that poem? Black Boy?
William Blake.
Yeah, there we go. But quoting Black Boy and sort of that line, I mean, and she does sort of acknowledge sort of the issues with the line, that "Oh, my soul is white" poem. But why, I don't know. It just felt like it was, when was that? In like 2020, in the year that we had George Floyd and we had all of those movements. And for her to advocate for sort of poems that whisper as opposed to poems that are loud, it felt really sort of like a backhand to all of the poets who are maybe writing the louder poems about what's happening.
Do you have a poet or writer that you met who exceeded, I mean, far beyond, like, you just could not imagine that it would be that great, you know? So if we talk about the disappointment, I want to also talk about the joy and the gratitude, the celebration. What was that moment?
I mean, for me, it was Toy Derricotte at Cave Cano.
Oh, she's great.
You know, I met her the first time and I went and she was so lovely and warm and made time to stop and talk with individuals. And it was really wonderful. But then I went back and I didn't expect her to remember me at all. And whether or not she did, Toy sort of exudes this warmth and love. And she was just sort of like, oh my God, it's you. And I was just like, what is this feeling? What is this? Why are you looking at me with so much joy in your heart? And it sort of, I've always admired that, like her ability to look at people and just sort of light up and be full of joy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely something I want to emulate. What about you, Jericho?
I don't know if I had, so if I go in either direction, I think all of my joys and all of my disappointments are really not about the poet and their poems being somehow contradictory to one another. They're really just about how poets who I respect act within community, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Thomas really broke my heart, you know? Thomas A. Ellis. And I think, and I don't know why Thomas broke my heart, you know what I mean? But I think I really wanted what Thomas had put, which I think he meant. Like, I think he wanted that too. There was a, trying to choose my words carefully here. There was sort of a front, you know, there was a community-oriented poet who was very smart and very aware of all of the community-oriented poetry that had come before him. And I was taken with that because that's part of what I want to be. That's part of who I want to be in the world. And, you know, he sort of made a position for himself in our community as that person. And then it became clear to me that he was, before I ever had a book, it was clear to me that he was taking advantage of that position, you know, in horrible ways. And I think that broke my heart. And then I had fallouts after that because, you know, when people act crazy, I have to say something like a dummy. Mm-hmm. And then I had, you know, after that, there were like so many little baby controversies that rose and I ended up having mm-hmm. trouble. You know, poets will break your heart. Nobody can break your heart like a poet can because mm-hmm. You expect them, you know, that's where you don't have to deal with the issue of translation that we talked about earlier in the show. Mm. You expect the poet to be on your side. You know, we look like we are a family, though we don't know each other, you know? Yeah. And so when that doesn't happen, you know, and I just remember poets that I had, you know, really fought for in boardrooms and back rooms were like, you know, lying on me, like Randall Horton lied on me. You know, that happened. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? So little things like that, I think, have been the most heartbreaking things. But not because, I mean, yes, because of their poems, but because they were poets and I had, and I, you know, I think I've only gotten over this really in my life in the last 5 years. I had such a romantic notion about poets. Yeah. You know, even the fact that poets could be homophobic was, because poetry was the only reason I was able to come out because I was around these straight guys, straight mm-hmm. black guys mm-hmm. who did not give a care that I was gay or so I thought.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that was a big deal mm-hmm. for me as a young person.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard, that gap between sort of people's best self, who they're putting on the page and sort of the reality of who mm-hmm. they are. It is upsetting how wide that gap can be.
And we do, I think we do have a sense of right or wrong. We do have a sense that to be a poet is to, in some ways, dedicate yourself to some higher morality.
Yeah.
That because mm-hmm. what we are doing is taking risks in the world of emotional labor, it is taking risks in the world of observance, attention, And it does feel like when you have a platform or any kind of power, there has to be caretaking involved, and there has to be a level of respect and reverence for poetry itself. And I think it's hard because I do think we hold our poets to maybe an impossible standard of humanity. And I don't think I'm ever going to get over that. I'm like, no, you're a poet. You have to be.
Yeah.
Have to be like
it's this. Not fair. It's not fair because not only are we doing that to each other, other people are doing that to us. People who are not poets expect us to be wisest Buddhist monk Christians, Muslims. Like we have to be. Yes. We have to be the height of wisdom in every area. Yes. You know?
Right. I mean, people expect us to know things, and all our poems are saying we don't know.
But our poems are also held up. Poems in and of themselves. This is why. I think, you know, the hardest thing in the world to be is a poet, because poems, more than any other genre of writing, people hold up a poem, they read the poem, and then when they finish that last word, they want to know something. And nobody feels that way about any other kind of writing. They feel like, oh, I'll figure it out as I go. They will tell me things along the way. But when people finish a poem, they want to walk away knowing something, like they want to be better. Oh, I'm better now. I read a poem. They expect that from us. And so so that gets difficult, I think. But I do want to say, on the positive side, I had the opposite experience. When I was a very young poet, I met this at the time married couple named Terrence Hayes and Yona Harvey. And I really do believe that they were the people who taught me how to be a poet in the world. And they taught me, I mean, without trying, just by doing what they do and being who they are, they really did teach me that what we do is about people, you know, that what we do really is and can be about community and building community. That, and I, you know, and I think what I do as a poet, the way I take on the way I think of it, the responsibility of being a poet has to do with what I learned from Terrence Hayes and Yona Harvey before Yona even had a book, and when Terrence was a first book poet.
I just wanted to add that since we were sort of talking about negative experiences, that I would say that when you were asking about, like, do we have the opposite where it felt amazing? I would say most of the time. And I just want to add that most of the time I walk away being like, I thought that I knew that person. I thought they were my friend, and they are, and I love them. That is what happened. So I just wanted to also encourage that kind of thought, because that is why I do what I do, because I truly believe the poetry community is full of incredible, incredible people.